Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Happier Happy Hour. Dominic, I'm happy to welcome back our fine guest. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney. He is the host of Morning Cannolis. Jim, welcome back. Morning Cannolis, 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday mornings. I got to turn my headphones up. I can't hear myself, Jim. Hope I can hear you, though.
Hey, Jim.
Right. Looking forward to hearing both of you and maybe your listeners, too. Glad to be with you once again this afternoon.
Well, Jim, normally I start, so I'm going to go first. What do you think? And it's an open-ended question today, Counselor. What do you think the most likely case to land indictments on the former president might be? Talking about Donald Trump.
Right.
Which one lands first, Jim?
I'm sorry?
Which one hits the desk first? Which one
right.
hits the waiver
that
wire
Fannie
first?
Willis, when she said last week things are imminent and she talked about future defendants, I think this is going to come soon. It may not be this week, but you don't use the word imminent when if you're pondering this for another 2-3 months or so. I think that one is probably at the top of the list. We know as well, just from reporting this past week, that we also have Alvin Bragg in the DA's office, who's now looking once again at the Stephanie Clifford, the Stormy Daniels matter, once again with the Department of Justice, dropped unceremoniously a number of years ago. That may have some legs to it, but that's not going to happen for a while. We also know, of course, that Letitia James continues to investigate, but that's a civil case. And although she's seeking a lot of money there, $250 million, and preventing the Trumps from being part of any future corporate leadership, I think that the one that probably is at the top of the list right now is coming out of Georgia. And again, it may well be that something will drop from the Department of Justice, but the all the tea leaves suggest to me that that one is still very much in process. Jack Smith, the special counsel doing both Mar-a-Lago and January 6th, has a lot on his plate. He's got to make some very difficult prosecution decisions here about what to charge, what not to charge, and in what sequence. Fannie Willis has a lot to look at, but it's more discreet, can be identified with more particularity. She's got a special grand jury that presumably has now told her there's sufficient evidence to indict. She's got to present this now to the indicting grand jury and return that and make that public soon.
So the Fulton County DA, you think, Counselor, more likely at least to get to the finish line quickest. I think it could be the strongest case. I mean, we've talked about the evidence. We've all heard the evidence. 11,780 votes. It seems so clear to me, Jim, the fact that this evidence has been in the public scope, in the public reporting for years, since before January 6th happened, we knew Trump was trying to pressure elections officials in states where he had lost, Jim. And I guess, you know, it's just befuddling to me that we're having these polite conversations, but we're not seeing the action. I'm looking for the action. So, calm me down, Jim. Walk me off the ledge. At the rate we're going, we're going to be right in the elective cycle. This guy's already running for president. He's already going to make rampant claims. It's a witch hunt. It's a this. It's a that. We knew that already. But once he gets in the elective cycle, we're back with guys like Bill Barr or special counselors like John Durham. I mean, this guy had a lot of cover for the last 4, 5, 6 years, Jim. When does the cover lift? When does the veil lift? I mean, even the DOJ's conduct in this, it's all god-awfully horrific, and I want to see the veil, the scab pulled back on all of it, from Georgia to the DOJ.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to be the one to in any way discourage your sense of outrage, Mike, because I'm there with you. And I think an awful lot of people are there with you, too, who have been in and outside of government. We need to move on this now, principally based upon the substance, right? We have talked on this fine broadcast and other settings about the fact that if you and I were to be in positions like this and to would attempt to coerce the miscounting of votes, do other things to undermine our elections, we would be the subjects very quickly of a criminal complaint, probably an indictment. This man has skated for a long period of time throughout his history. And the fact that we are now talking in February of 2023, getting into the next election cycle, as you just pointed out, and still we are not, we don't have anyone charging him with any criminal conduct, is a source of, at a minimum, frustration. Outrage, I think, is on the table as well. The other issue, of course, is timing. As you've indicated, the other reason why I think the state cases may have more legs, just because they're not subject, presumably, to the same kind of limitation that a federal prosecution would. We have talked about this in the past. It warrants repeating once again. If we get a Republican administration that's taking the oath of office on January 20th of 2025, regardless of whether it's Donald Trump or someone else, highly likely that a president will pardon the former president. And regardless of where we are with a criminal prosecution initiated next week by the department, by this Department of Justice, it is not going to be concluded by January 20th of 2025. And that's the concern. And again, all the more reason for Merrick Garland not only to be looking at the substance and Jack Smith be looking at the substance, but to be looking at their calendars as well. And finally making some tough decisions, admittedly, very tough, not easy to do, again, about what you charge, what you don't charge, understanding that this is so broad, so many tendrils, you can't encompass everything, nor should you in a good prosecution. But just, Mike, as you identified with respect to the Fannie Willis thing, a discreet, kind of an insular package that everybody can understand, and maybe you focus on that with respect to January 6th also. You talk about the things that he said, the things that he tweeted to get people there, inciting this insurrection. The charges, frankly, that the Jamie Raskin and others sent up to the Department of Justice by recommendations, they're not bad. They frankly provide a good outline, even though the Department of Justice doesn't have to follow them. You need to seize on one of them and do it, I've said in the past, this month or next month. And then you really begin to lose the, just not, I don't want to say the advantage, because that sounds like a strategy, but you lose the opportunity to continue with the prosecution through trial, through conviction, through sentencing, through appeal, and through disposition. We are very close to the end of that period. If Joe Biden or another Democrat is elected, whole new lease on life, and presumably the Department of Justice would be able to go forward with that. It's very uncertain right now about what will happen in November of 2024.
So, Jim, if Willis, the DA in Fulton County, Georgia, typically, we've talked about these sort of prosecutions, typically you'd go after the medium fish, in this case, the small fish were the Capitol rioters and perhaps unrelated to the crimes going on in Georgia. But the medium fish are the people conspiring with the fake electors, and the medium fish are the guys like Mark Meadows and even perhaps Senator Lindsey Graham,
yes,
who were specifically pressuring campaign officials in Georgia on behalf, clearly at the behest of Donald Trump. So can you afford to charge the smaller players and wait for those trials, convictions, or perhaps plea hearings, because they're going to roll up on Trump? Can you wait in this timeline? Will history allow for that?
It may, again, in the state system, again, depending upon even Fannie Willis's tenure, which is not coming to an end. But you may want to do that. You may want to indict those people. Remember, also, Rudy Giuliani went there. To add to the list, your accurate list that you just recounted, Mike, Rudy Giuliani was there, appearing in front of legislative committees in Georgia, talking with them about some mysterious evidence that he has of voter fraud. All of that kind of activity. You can charge those mid-level, kind of upper-level people with election fraud under state law there and see if Rudy Giuliani, who, again, no longer a young man, these other folks also, the Mark Meadows of the world, frankly, the John Eastmans of the world, who also had involvement in this, the false electors in Georgia, just as we had them here in Wisconsin, charge those people. And again, as you indicated, I explained to them that they have two choices. They can go to trial, which is their right, and that may happen months down the road, or they can talk about a plea agreement that includes testimony about who told them to do what, and that may well lead directly to Donald Trump. I don't think that's a bad strategy. Bennie Willis may well do that, or she may identify, again, out of this special grand jury, enough evidence to indict the whole lot in one fell swoop and have a major, major indictment of the former president, and also no less significant indictments of the others, but those people who supported Donald Trump in his effort to stay in the White House, 11,780 votes. That's the key piece. She plainly expanded her investigation beyond just that tape. And that's probably the reason why we're waiting still on that. But in the end, that may pay off for her and for everyone else in America, as we understand Atlanta and Georgia as sort of the symbol of what happened overall to the United States of America.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. A couple more minutes left in this segment, Jim. We'll stick around for the next. Fulton County, right? Alvin Bragg is a Manhattan DA. Tish James, attorney general of state of New York. DOJ, Jack Smith, investigating both the secret documents crime and the January 6th insurrection. And let's not forget out there, it's not a criminal act, but the E. Jean Carroll defamation lawsuit, I'm not clear what the terms are that she's suing him on, but that's she right. claims it's rape, it's after the statute, so there's a new law that she can sue him under. That goes to trial in April, to my understanding, Jim. And while we're talking about these legal issues and looking down the road at the political time windows, we ought to understand the politics of this as well. I mean, Donald Trump, if there's the blue dress, you know what I'm saying? It's not going to be great for Donald Trump. He's going to look really, really bad at the end of that case. Do you think that any of these prosecutors are getting some backbone? Alvin Bragg, just got these successful lawsuits against the Trump organizations, right? And now he's perhaps going after this one. I know we're going to run out of time. Also, the DOJ, seditious conspiracy, the Proud Boys and all these white nationalists, they're getting, they're very successful in their prosecutions. And when we get back from the break, Jim, I want to get your sense. Do those cases that have now slowly started lining up give prosecutors that much more confidence in bringing charges sooner than later? I'd be very concerned if they're going to play any sort of politics on this, Jim. Who cares if he's running? He's not the president. He's not going to win. I don't think he's running anyway. But, I mean, justice has to be met here. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. Jim, we'll get your comments on my rant on the other side. We'll be right back.
We'll stay.
It's, again, very new and potentially...
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Check us out on the socials, on Twitter at Devil Radio and on the Facebooks at Devil's Advocates Radio.
Dom, we got a fine guest right now. He is the host of Morning Cannolis, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of ours, but a couple of show notes. Exciting guests coming in the next couple days. No offense to you, Jim, but you never played on the Green Bay Packers. And tomorrow, we got Earl Ingram bringing his buddy, the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. We're going to have a conversation with those two fine gentlemen in the 4 o'clock hour. A big announcement coming up, a partnership between Earl and the Gravedigger. And then, Dom, the newest civic media partnership, we announced this today, Charlie Behrens, Wisconsin's own. He's dropping the Cripescast across the civic media network each week at noon, the new exclusive radio partners of Charlie Behrens, civic media. I'm so proud of us.
Well,
Jim, you gotta start inviting comedians on your constitutional law show on Saturday mornings. Morning Cannolis.
Right. It's time to up my game, right? I can't come with it, right?
All right, Jim, sorry about the rant before. So where we stand right now with these prosecutors, we have some success. Alvin right. Bragg, who initially didn't prosecute in Manhattan, is now convened a grand jury to continually investigate the Stormy Daniels payout. But I don't like to even put it that way, Jim. This is a campaign violation as well as tax fraud. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Who cares if he's had sex or didn't? But are they getting confident? You know, and the same thing right. with the seditious conspiracy convictions. Are the prosecutors, are they getting their mojo? Do you feel like it's speeding up?
I think your rant is not just that. I think it's chock full of good information. And it's also right on the money. You know, you've got to believe that we do know. Prosecutors live in the real world. Yes, they look at facts, they look at the law, they figure out whether there's probable cause, whether we can indict, whether we can prove cases beyond a reasonable doubt. But they also look to the dynamics. And I think among that list of very good, very pointed things that you just identified, problems for Donald Trump, civil, criminal, multiple jurisdictions, the one that I've especially looked to are the two things that you identified with respect to January 6th. Right now, we've got more than 900 people. Been a couple of acquittals by judges, but 900 people on the actual ground of January 6th who've been found guilty, some of them going away to jail in double figures, right? Significant prison terms being imposed, not on everybody, but almost 1,000 people now facing those kinds of successful prosecutions. Even more importantly, we've got juries just in the past several weeks, the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, two sets of trials, Proud Boys underway. And you've got mom and pop America. You've got regular, normal, ordinary Americans listening to the evidence and saying beyond a reasonable doubt, unanimously, that what they saw before them is seditious conspiracy, an attempt to overthrow the government of the United States of America. Those people are going to go away to jail for long periods of time. Again, in the coming months, we'll get those sentences. Do those have an impact upon the Jack Smiths and the attorneys general of the United States of America? You bet they do, because it does, I think, to your very important point, give them a sense that, you know what, normal people outside of the Beltway who are jurors, who are American public listening to all of this, have had it. And they're not only anxious to bring these things to conclusion, but they're also anxious to label them what they are, which is insurrection. It is a violation of our fundamental election laws. And I think they should take great solace in those convictions and these other things that you had described as happening, to give them a sense that, you know what, we're not playing to Fox News. We're not playing to some of these conservative law firms that are advancing these crazy litigation theories. We're playing to America, and America's rejecting it. I think they're finding that more and more. They will get more and more force and more sense of confidence going ahead. I hope from your lips to our attorney general's ears, that kind of information, that kind of sense transfers. I think Fannie Willis has got it. I think Alvin Bragg has got it. And yes, I think Letitia James has got it as well. I think the rest of us have got it too.
Another one, Jim. Scott Perry, his phone was taken by the DOJ back in, what, August? And this is a back and forth. They still have not, like, accessed the information. A political reporting 2 days ago that a three-judge panel has temporarily blocked a lower court ruling granting that access. I know this is, you know, we're not even supposed to know that this is going on, but I wanted to get your sense. What do you think's going on there, and why? Why? Of course, if he's part of the seditious conspiracy, certainly we want to know what's on that phone. What are your thoughts, Counselor?
Right. And again, this is a battle inside the legal, not just niceties. It's an important issue. It has to do with Fourth Amendment rights to privacy. And what you have going on, again, we don't have all the insight into it. So you're absolutely right. We have to speculate here a little bit. But they seized the phone. This was not the only phone, as we know. Jeffrey Clark's phone also seized, others along the way. The seizure of the phone is one thing. Accessing it is another thing. And as always, as we've talked before, when you're searching something, whether it's a place, a location where there's a presumption of privacy, there has to be a showing of probable cause to believe that there is something about that search will produce crime. And so that's what they're arguing about right now. I think in the end, the judge will probably say, yes, go ahead and go into that phone, get what you need. They're doing it right so that they don't just go in and take it and have it suppressed down the road. With this, they'll get the imprimatur of a judge. They can use that at trial if, in fact, the Perrys and other people in the world are eventually prosecuted among these co-conspirators. They're doing it right.
Okay, final question probably for this appearance. What about this Santos character? The DOJ asked, the FEC to back off on the investigations. George Santos, if that is his real name. Jim, is it likely he's soon to be indicted?
Right. You know, his biggest issue is not political, candidly. I'm sure his lawyers are telling him you've got some significant criminal exposure here. It's money. It's misstatements. It's false statements. It's election problems. It is dollars. Following that to the end, that's where his real problem is going to come. That's why I can't imagine that he is long tenured in the United States Congress of the United States of America.
Well, the good news is he's built a second life in Brazil. He's got something to look forward to. Jim Santel, I look forward to Saturday mornings, each and every one. The morning cannolis with our favorite legal counsel, at least federal prosecutor, Jim Santel. Got to be careful. Lots of legal friends. But you're amongst our very favorite, Jim. Our favorite one from Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Tune in across the Civic Media Network. Thank you, Jim Santel.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you soon. Take care.
I state your name.
Oh, I have so many names.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the happier happy hour. Jim Santel always makes it happy up in here. You know, I can see the audience, at least the streaming audience in real time. I'm sort of a analytics geek, you know, and I know it is the greatest radio show ever, so I like to see exactly when people tune in or when they tune out. What did Dom say?
You're kind of a stalker that way, Curdy.
And here's what I can say. People, I suspect, stay late at work when Jim Santel's on. And then when he's done, they're like, oh, I got to get home, man. I'm supposed to be cooking dinner or, you know, a long drive, whatever the case may be. I can see them. They're hopping off the stream. Hopefully, they're tuning into one of the many great terrestrial civic media signals. But, you know, we start losing them off the stream as soon as Jim leaves. So at some point in the future, I'm going to say goodbye to Jim. And then during the break, say, no, Jim, don't leave. We're going to punish all the kids that left early. You know, like the guy that tries to leave early at the football game, and then suddenly there's a miraculous comeback, and then he tells all his buddies, I was at that game.
But you missed the play that matters.
Kind of. Thank you, Jim Santel. You're always a fine guest. Listen for his show, Morning Cannoli, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. And remember, if I ever pause or think for a moment, it's because I'm literally doing the entire lineup by memory. I should write it down at some point.
You could, but then you would, you know, not avail yourself to the mental exercise that is remembering everything all the time.
I do that. I try. I fill in many gaps for your fault.
And I do so sincerely appreciate that, Michael.
Hey, Dom, you know who's going to run for president?
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, your girl. Miss South Carolina. Well, once upon a time, there's rumor she was Trump's girl. But now, you know, the rumor has it, the local paper in South Carolina reporting, she's going to make a big announcement about a week from today, right around Valentine's time. Well, 2 weeks then, right?
Yes.
Joe Biden. Now, Ron Klain, his outgoing chief of staff, statement was that Joe Biden is running in 2024. I wasn't looking for that headline, but I found it at thehill.com. I suspect he will. You know, Klain knows. Klain's probably moving over to the campaign side. Or, you know, going to cash checks on K Street, one or the other. But back to Nikki Haley. You know who's clearly annoyed? Former President Donald Trump. Trump doesn't like this, not one
little
bit.
Was he truthy socialini today?
Well, he was mocking Nikki Haley's honor in a cryptic post. Let's see what that means over at the Roar story. Sarah K. Burris. Former President Donald Trump's comments about Nikki Haley on his personal social media platform Wednesday were dripping with sarcasm. I can't imagine what that's like. As he recalled their previous meeting where she asked for his blessing to get married? No, to run for president. She called me and said, she'd like me to consider it. And I said, you should do it, Trump recounted on Saturday. I talked to her for a little while. I said, look, you know, go by your heart if you want to run. What is he? Listen to your heart.
He's calling for you.
Trump's just following his heart?
He has no heart.
But on Wednesday afternoon, like the Grinch. Trump posted a video of her previous remarks saying that she would support him if he ran in 2024. Nikki has to follow her heart, not her honor. She should definitely run, he wrote. Follow her heart, not her honor. So it's dishonorable to challenge Trump.
Well, of course. You make us get in line, man. It's loyalty or nothing.
So why the seemingly contradictory message about Haley's 2024 bid? According to NBC News, senior national politics reporter Jonathan Allen, Trump is clearly annoyed. She said she wouldn't and is going to anyways. But it benefits him to have more candidates splitting the non-Trump vote. The more in the pool, the better for Trump.
For Trump, yes.
I still predict.
If he's actually running.
He is running.
Okay, man.
In that he's running for his life.
It's not the same.
But it is.
Okay.
There's more urgency in his campaign, although you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell it from his campaign actions. Although I understand he did go on the stump. And after his South Carolina speech, apparently the odds makers turned further against his chances of winning re-election. Very low energy, my
low energy Trump, yes.
But I think he's literally running for his, if not his lifetime, his freedom. I think as he does the calculus, he's got to win so he can pardon himself and all the other smaller fish, the Steve Bannons, the Mark Meadows, the Rudy Giuliani's. I mean, there's a list. Scott Perry, Gozar, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz. I mean, there's a lot of people that he's got to go pardon so they can't turn against the old man and testify against him, right? So when I say he's running for his life, I mean, you know, sort of in a Shawshank Redemption kind of way.
Get busy living or get busy dying? I'm not clear. You know, and as we delineated with James Santel, the cases against him, and these are starting. The E. Jean Carroll case starts in April, man. The $250 million civil case that New York Attorney General Tish James is bringing against Donald Trump et al. Is on October trial date.
Come on, man. That's like pocket change to this guy, right?
Is it really, dude? I don't care how much money you got. You got to cut a check for $250 million. And that's just on the civil side. And whatever they find on that side, of course, Tish James will share with Alvin Bragg, right? So, and this is that dual civil slash criminal investigation. Nikki Haley, I mean, she was, as typical per Trump, you know, she was his ambassador to the UN, right? He chose her. And now she's the coffee girl, right? Now she has no honor. It's amazing how anyone who Trump, perceives in his mind, is disloyal to him. Hell, if she actually called him and asked for the blessing and he gave it, and then he turns around and then he says all sarcastically these things about her honor and her heart. I mean, I guess it's consistent. At least Trump's consistent in that regard. But as mentioned, the more that get in, it's going to be better for Trump if he, quote unquote, continues to run. But it is a lackadaisical effort, if anything. I mean, he had, 13, according to Jose Paglieri from, I think, the Daily Beast tweeting out today, 13 attorneys in court today on this $250 million state of New York civil case against Trump and the organization. Missing was Trump attorney Alina Haba, who apparently has been fired. And she was also the attorney for him at the E. Jean Carroll case. And she was also, along with Trump, sanctioned for filing frivolous lawsuits to the tune of $1 million of a sanction for filing frivolous lawsuits against Hillary Clinton, the FBI, and others. So this is what Trump's dealing with. And we talk about what's going to happen a week or 2 weeks or 2 months or 6 months from now. Dude had 13 lawyers in court today on one case. I mean, this stuff's getting really, really hot for him, man. So, yes, come on, Nikki Haley be much better than Trump as a president or as a candidate. Okay, she was a governor. She was an executive. She didn't blow up South Carolina. So whatever. Go for it.
You know, and we will get to the phones, 844-967-2789. Now it's your turn. It's your turn down here with us, the Devil's Advocates. Final week on Devil Radio, killing the brand on Friday. Tune in for that. We're going to have fun. Dom, there is another legal front we should follow for the current president and the paperwork crimes and the classified documents. You know, there was another FBI search, this one at the vacation home. And I'm happy to report, and here's a quote, Dom. The DOJ planned search of the president's Rehoboth residence, I think that's the vacation home, conducted in coordination and cooperation with the president's attorneys, has concluded no documents with classified markings were found.
All right,
And what he should have said is, this time. And I guess it's also been found out, you know, the FBI did their initial search back in November, dude. We didn't know that the president had had his residence searched by the FBI back in November.
I find that somewhat problematic. I mean,
that they
I
didn't
don't know.
Tell us?
Yes. I mean, but do you tell? I mean, politically, probably not. Maybe. I don't know. But come on, man. I don't. Anyway,
tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies.
Let's just get there. I mean, I don't know what people sign or what they do or how they do it. But if we have a situation where folks like the former president, and again, I still delineate there's a difference between how Trump did it and what's going on with Biden, but, you know, we can have those arguments. But as a general rule, if you have access and then you retire and move away or are kicked out of office, whatever the case may be, do you sign something to say, I admit I have no documents? Or do you sign something to say, I guarantee you I turned everything over? And is there any teeth to anything like that? I mean, come on, man. People got to turn their laptop in. They got to turn their uniform in when they leave the job. I mean, these things happen. What is happening in this country when you have, and I also saw another headline, some general was found with something. So it's out there, but what are we doing about it? It's concerning, man, for real.
Here's what I would say, and it's completely political. I'm glad Joe didn't tell until after the midterms. I mean, we don't know, you know, he can't go back and relive the past, but I'm glad he kept his mouth shut. Good for Joe. I'm glad he didn't go out there and tell the press, well, my home has been searched by the FBI, because that wouldn't have played on Fox News very well. You know, they're already making stuff up, crime and this and that. So
if your home was searched by the FBI, Crudy, would you talk about it on the radio?
Well, eventually, but maybe not before the spring election. And do you know something that I don't know? Is there a reason they'd be searching at this?
I don't know, man. I'm just asking questions. You know, that's what we do here.
844-967-2789. Andy from Beaver Dam. Welcome back, fella.
Hey, Andy.
Well, I went back in the archives to get it back on the state side as opposed to the national, and found the 2014 Mary Burke governor brochure. Right on the front, it says, no photo ID needed to vote on November the 4th. But you guys have ranted, oh, for God, probably at least 6 or 7 years about Scotty Wanker. And a lot of these people, your new listeners up in northern Wisconsin, haven't heard all this. But all the same things in here that, you know, Walker came close. Hasn't even come close to the 250,000 jobs in the private sector, and he has fallen from 11th to 35th in job creation, dead last in the Midwest. He slashed $800 million from the public education and cut 30% to technical colleges. She's got a comparison chart, but. But anyway, lest we forget, and this is even before Foxconn. We're not even talking about that. There's
His economic development plan were tax cuts for millionaires, secret sweetheart deals for asbestos companies.
Don't forget the lead paint companies.
Maybe it was a lead paint company and a Gogeba taconite mining company that wanted to befell the Northwoods. Anyways, you go, Andy. You got like 30 seconds left.
All right. Well, he skewed the tax cut to higher earners in hopes of benefits would trickle down while raising taxes on the seniors. Opposed raising the minimum wage, Mary Burke says she would be in favor of a $10.10 minimum wage. But
that was Walker 9 years ago, Andy.
I know.
And Scott Walker couldn't reconcile raising it off of 7.25. And in Wisconsin statute at the time, it said this: the governor singularly gets to determine. And what the statute said is the minimum wage must be a livable wage. Clearly, 7.25 isn't. So Scott Walker changed the language of the statute. What a bastard. Wanker. Come back. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere. Taking away the moments that
make up a dull day. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is the last segment of the day, I swear. But you can call us at 844-967-2789.
I thought we were done already. I'm sorry, I stepped on you, man. Give him the phone number again.
You know the phone number, man. I said it.
Not everyone knows it. We got some new friends. You know, we're so charming. More so me.
844-96-PARTY. You figure it out.
844-967-2789.
That's what I said.
You said party.
That's what it means.
That's what it spells. But if you're driving down the highway, I don't want you looking for numbers on your, you know, letters. It's like the old days when you have to text off the... You know, the old...
Get your rotary dial, man. You'll be fine.
844-967-2789. See, it's so easy. Call the Devil's Advocates like Rico from Rock... let me move that. Rico from Rock County. How you doing, Rico?
Hey, Rico.
Doing great. Yeah, Jim snuck out of there. I wanted to ask him a question. That's all right. I'll just make it a comment, right?
Call him Saturday morning. He's got his own show, man. We don't take calls.
I know.
I do.
And it's the same number. You'll be fine.
I talked to him last Saturday, dudes. I always talk to Jim.
I guess you did. I was listening too, Rico.
You guys are my favorites. You guys are my favorites, okay? I don't want to be cheating
thanks,
on
man.
Nobody here. We're sexy, right?
What do you mean, Dom?
Oh, wait a second.
You got it backwards, Rico. Crudy's the sexy one.
Yeah. Oh, doggone, I'm always messing that up, ain't I? Hey, I wanted to comment on this thing with Jim, you know, because I find this very, very not cool. Hey, he's got this angle. Annie Willis has got the bullet right now. She might be the one, right? And I'm thinking, you know, if she, she's got the tape. We all know that. She's got the infamous tape and everything. But I think there's some fine folks up here in Wisconsin, though, who really would like a slice of that indictment pie. But Fannie's going to cook it for us first.
Well, our
okay?
attorney general has shown no interest, Rico.
Josh,
call.
Get to that.
I mean, his mom would have dropped indictments by now. Peg Lautenschlager, the former AG of the state of Wisconsin. Peg was a strong woman. And I strongly believe in, I don't know, but Peg would have dropped indictments on those that committed a fraud, clearly an electoral fraud. The final Wisconsin Supreme Court decision came down before they cast the false Trump electors in Wisconsin. They entered a locked building during a pandemic, hid in a room, and then did something. They signed, and many of them were lawyers. Think of the former Republican Party chair of the state of Wisconsin. He's like a senior partner at Michael Best and Friedrich. And all of their defense was, Trump's lawyer said it was okay to do this.
Can I say something?
Well, you can.
Am I going to get to talk?
I guess. Say it. What?
Now I forgot what I was going to say, but it was good. It was good.
Well, man. Rico, you have to hit us up tomorrow. When you figure it out, let us know. But we always appreciate you listening, man. And thanks for the kind words. 844-967-2789. CJ. Pardon me. The bad CJ. You're next. Welcome, CJ. What do you got for us?
Hey, CJ.
Hey there, gentlemen. Thank you. I wish
Mr. CJ, which one's the good-looking one on the panel, though? In your opinion, if you had a pick between us.
Well, I'm not really into that kind of thing because I see myself in the mirror, and I guess you and I look more alike, Crudy, than Dom.
He's strapping sexy nice lads, hair. Aren't we, CJ?
You make a fine couple.
You guys are. You're kind of the Mutt and Jeff of the radio. I got to love it. So, you know, I would like to speak, though. I wish I could have spoke to Mr.
I'm Snowden Jeff. You're the Mutt, Dom.
Some current events because he was able to avoid again, you know, the three special counsels that are still going on, including John Durham.
Oh, and please talk more about the John Durham special.
Yes, come on.
That Jim Jordan had his first House Judiciary Committee meeting today.
How'd it go?
And just proved what the border czar, do-nothing Kamala, what a failure she is. And, you know.
How so?
What is the vice president's role in securing the border, CJ?
Pardon me?
I guess I will grant you that Biden sort of gave her the role and then kind of shuffled her out of the spotlight. But what did Jim Jordan do? Was Kamala there answering questions and said, what's that?
Well, they've had the state, and since Joe Biden's become president, the population of Mississippi crossed the border and continue to promote it. And, you know, the Border Patrol is begging for help from this failed administration.
And, what are they want more walls paid for by Mexico, CJ?
For the president, you know, they clean up El Paso for, you know, a photo shot of a disaster. And
CJ, Donald Trump used the military and tear gas to clear peaceful protesters from a public park so he could go and hold a Bible upside down in front of a church, CJ. So tell me more about the photo ops.
Events, Dom. How about some current events? This is actually happening.
We are talking about current events. Like currently right now, Fulton County DA Fawny Willis is currently impaneling another grand jury, as they do it down there, to potentially charge the president for his role in finding 11,780 votes, which is one more than they need. Currently, Alvin Bragg, currently, has also a grand jury that is now relooking at, it's thankfully so, the crimes that Trump committed during the Stormy Daniels payoff. Tish James is currently in court today with Trump's 13 lawyers without Alina Habba. They're in court today on the $250 million civil lawsuit. And currently, the Department of Justice has Special Prosecutor Jack Smith investigating the secret documents crimes and the J6 insurrection, the seditious conspiracy. And currently, E. Jean Carroll is going to get her whack at Donald Trump for the rape or whatever she can get out of him based on New York law coming up in April. These are current events. You're right, CJ. I'm kind of pissed about it because these things should have been put to bed a long time ago.
We put CJ to bed?
Yeah, he's in bed.
Okay. Night-night, CJ. I did want to ask him one question, though. CJ, if you're still listening, and I know you are, I'm going to open up the line, but only for one question. I'm going to ask it. Are you a Dan Kelly man or more of a Jennifer Doro dude? Kelly or Doro? Which is it, CJ?
They're both wonderful candidates.
You got to pick one. It's a binary choice.
No, I don't. No, I don't, because the campaign's still going on, and I don't decide until I actually hear a platform. But we're living your failed one, Crudy. The Democrats are bombing on everything, man.
Wish I could run you right up into a hard break, CJ. But, you know, I'm a professional. We do this for a living. Thanks for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Thank you, Jim Santel. And all the
Thank
other...
Thank you, Joseph Pecky.
Oh, yeah. You too, Joe. Should have written it down.
All right, that's it, young man. No Bible.